Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Good morning, everybody. Actually, it's morning for us, which is it's very early. You know how we are in the morning. It's Fat Mascara, and I am Jen.
I'm Jessica.
It's a big episode, so you have to wake the heck up, Jess. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. How about that?
Sure, you start.
Okay, so anti-aging got a lot of press this week, so I want to talk about the word with you. I'm still saying the word, by the way, not banning it from Fat Mascara. Then Pat drops a new collection, and by Pat we mean Pat McGrath. You got a preview, right?
Yes.
So I have to hear about that.
Full report.
Lastly, hair breakage, surprising causes, and surprising fixes.
And then...
Oh, now you're awake.
Now I'm awake. We have a fabulous Fat Mascara guest today. The one, the only, most iconic redhead, Miss Molly Ringwald. Of Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, and my latest favorite, Riverdale fame.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine?
So the beauty world was rocked this week, Jen.
That's right.
There is a new mandate at Allure magazine, which, full disclosure, I work for Teen Vogue, and Allure is run by a lot of the same leadership. It's owned by Condé Nast. Mm-hmm. But the term anti-aging is now banned from the lexicon and from the style guide. Every magazine has, I think we should be clear about something. Every magazine, newspaper, et cetera, has like a style guide of like banned words. I've yes. heard that like...
And the spellings of like certain
exactly.
words.
Exactly.
So skincare, one word or two.
Right. Yeah. When I was at Allure years ago, I remember like you can never use things like do or tresses. I've heard my...
Locks. They hated locks.
Oh, hate locks. I've heard, this is like just a fun fact, that at Vanity Fair, the word chuckles is off the table.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that's true, but I just like want to believe it is. It's just funny. but
it makes me chuckle.
The idea here is that anti-aging has like a negative association with it, that aging, there's something intrinsically bad that we need to be fighting. So the editor-in-chief, just to clarify this, they're not, Allure's not saying that they're no longer interested in, you know, products that are going to make you look younger. She said in her editor letter No one is suggesting giving up retinol, but changing the way we think about aging starts with changing the way we talk about aging. So the idea is that, and close quote, the idea is that we need to stop talking about aging as this really...
something to fight.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the message. I really think, you know, when I think about my mom and when I think my mom's beautiful, when I see her like kind of pull her skin back, like mm-hmm. as if there's something wrong with her being, you know, she probably wouldn't even want me to say her age. Her being an older woman, that makes me really sad. And even like I was on a trip this weekend and people were asking like how old each other was.
Right.
And I said like as a joke, something like, oh, I'm not telling you. And I was thinking, why wouldn't I tell people my age?
Yeah.
I'm not quote unquote old, but there's this idea that once you're not 25 anymore, something's wrong with you.
Right.
So I do like this change and like embracing your age, but I also know that women are never going to want to stop fighting wrinkles. And that's what Michelle is saying. So there is this kind of tension happening, but I think this is a step in the right direction. What do you think?
I agree. But what annoys me, and I've talked to a lot of women, I'm just going to give a number like over 50. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the aged number is. Mm-hmm. And what I don't like about the whole thing is when women that aren't over 50 are expecting to speak for those women over 50. So a lot of the women I was talking to who are more mature were like, they're not of the same generation as us and a younger generation that thinks like, yay, and we should all be embracing who we are and everybody's included.
Yeah.
My mom and her friends often talk about like, yeah, I just want to look younger. I was talking to a woman I work with who I think she's in her early 50s, and she was saying, I feel offended by them saying not anti-aging. I feel bad because I actually do want to look younger, and am I not cool now because I want to look younger?
Right.
Like she was like, who are these people to tell me I can't want to look younger.
Right.
So when you don't have wrinkles on your face and you're not aging and you're presuming to talk about why we shouldn't talk about aging, it just feels like now you're speaking for this cohort that you shouldn't be speaking for.
I don't think, you know, women are going to stop wanting to look younger, but I think the pressure with this movement, I don't think this movement is going to start like this immediate sea change of people being like, yay, I don't want to, you know, like, I feel great about the way I am, but I think it puts a nugget, like a little seed in people's mind that they don't have to run for the Botox. They don't have to feel badly when they say their age in a group of women.
Sure.
And it's just going to start the momentum, almost like with the body positivity movement.
Right.
You know, some people thinking that they don't have to diet or they can just like, you know, actually feel good about the way they are, that imperative isn't there. So I think it's just good that the conversation is getting going.
Yeah.
It's not going to create a complete overnight change.
And it is about being positive. I remember when I worked at Prevention, which was a magazine for women over 50, and we were pretty clear about the number. Mm-hmm. Like, this is who we're speaking to. My editor-in-chief didn't want us to use the word anti-aging, so we had to say defy your age, which felt a little hokey.
Yeah.
And then we'd often say youth boosting. But, like, people read between the lines. They see that also means, like, we're just trying to get back. Like, where we want the face or the look of being a little younger. Like, words are just semantics, you know?
But the small changes, I think, personally, I think they do create a culture of, like, I hate the word shaming, but, like...
Yes.
A feeling of allowing yourself to be like, you know what, this is fine.
I feel like I'm going to try and like expand the voices I listen to include more women of all ages. That way, like, I'll be better versed on this whole topic, I think.
Guys, let us know what you think. I'm really curious. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, info@fatmascara. I want to hear what you guys think. And definitely join our private Facebook fan page. You will get let in immediately upon request because Jess is an on top of things administrator.
I'm just hitting accept all day on my phone.
Come on. Hey, ladies.
Hey, mom.
What's up?
Let's fly.
All right.
It was a busy week in the beauty world, not just in terms of anti-aging, but in terms of like new launches and things. So Jess and I split up duties for Fat Mascara. This week, I was up at a Blue Hillstone bar. I was at a farm, people, with the chickens, learning about Fido's new hair-densifying hair launch. And Jess was back in the city. I was with chickens learning about hair thinning. You were in freaking New York City with Pat McGrath, like, getting 52 million colors put on your face.
Darling.
Who won that evening, I wonder?
Oh, no, I love Stone Barns.
I know,
love
actually,
chickens.
The chickens were great.
Did you see the pigs?
I didn't see pigs. I saw chickens and a lot of tomatoes.
Okay.
But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to know what Queen Pat did.
Okay.
Or Knight Pat. or editor at large, Pat.
Well, I think it's, I get a kick out of the fact that people call her mother. Or she calls herself mother.
Okay.
You know that, right?
I've heard of her.
Mother.
Yeah.
Mother. So this was the biggest Pat McGrath event I've been to in the city. There were so many people there. First of all, we were all held like in a pen. You saw like, chickens like in a pen? Or editors in a pen at the bottom of the Gramercy Park Hotel. Then we were all led up to the penthouse, like the, you know, the top of the Gramercy Park Hotel. And it was just flowers everywhere. Before we get to the
actual products.
Yes, I can't even speak this morning so early. There were the most amazing flowers I've ever seen in my life. And I took a picture of it. I put it on my personal Instagram. And this person wrote back, and it was Birch Florals, like double R-C-H. They actually did the flowers for a story I did at Cosmo years ago. It was all about, like, dark florals. I mean, they're incredible. They are incredible. Just wild. Some were furry. Some were, like, they look like they were feathers. Some look like brushes. It was
sound more excited about the flowers.
No, the flowers were as cool as the products. Okay. So I just need to, like, just... I can't stop thinking about them. Okay. I cannot stop thinking about them.
Somebody might be getting married this year and trying to get inspiration.
They were outrageous. Okay. Outrageous.
We'll revisit that.
So then I sat down and I had a prime seat because I'm telling you, it was like freaking Penn Station in there. Pat sat down and I didn't realize this was a permanent collection. This is the first time she's doing, and she called it an unlimited collection. And I asked her, I said, why were you doing all these like one-offs before, these like Beyonce-style drops? She said that like it was just as she got great formulas, she would just drop them.
Okay.
I thought there was more like a more of a method to the madness before. I don't know.
Build hype and build excitement.
I'm
and
a little
001 and 002 and
I'm a little cynical. I don't know. We'll
see. So when does this permanent full line launch?
September 16th.
Okay.
And there are 40 lipsticks.
Okay. Whoa.
Gorgeous
including some of the colors that are already out.
I think there are versions of them.
Because I've become obsessed with McMenemy. What was Karen McMenemy? What that model?
Kristen McMenemy.
Okay. Well, there's a color named after her that I've been wearing all summer, like a dark plum matte from the last collection that dropped. So 40 lipsticks.
There are 40.
All different finishes?
You're asking me a lot of specifics right
now.
You
were too obsessed with the florals and Pat.
Yeah. I was just kind of swatching everything.
Okay.
12 lip pencils.
Okay.
5 eye pencils. The eye pencils were incredible. I like was drawing on my hand. I took a shower and then I needed to still take 2 like removers to put them on, you know, to my hand to get them off. And then a dark star mascara. And then the best thing, these 3 incredible eye palettes. And they had like huge pans of really deeply pigmented eyeshadows.
I saw those on Instagram and I thought those might be the lab samples because they were such big pans.
Well, you may have seen some lab samples that were floating around, but the pans are tremendous.
Well, and that also is her aesthetic. I remember asking her and she wanted it to look like lab samples.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like how it just came out of her labs and it's straight to you. And then with the Ziploc bag, that was the whole concept. Is it a little bit more luxe of packaging now that it's a permanent line?
Well, they come in these kind of like, they have graphics on them.
Okay.
Like they're very cool looking, but I think
the standout.
If you're gonna buy something from this
hero
collection,
product, Jess?
Definitely the Mothership eye palettes. And
are they called Mothership?
Yeah, the Mothership eye palettes.
Oh my god!
They have such payoff.
Mothership. I'm sorry.
I just tapped it on like I was sitting there listening to talk. I just tapped my little like paw on one, and then I just I wasn't too worried about the germs, and then I just put it on my eye, just pressed it. I looked like I just left like a Nick Knight photo shoot. It was incredible. I didn't even get my makeup done. I was so busy.
For a second, I was like Nick at Night, but then I remembered the photographer.
Yes,
Nick Knight. Yes, much cooler.
No,
than
I didn't
Nick
have
at
like
night.
A Snick photo shoot. I
climbed.
Looked. It was they're awesome. So that's where you're gonna want to put your money.
Okay, you might want to put it there, but you know what else drops that week? Fenty Beauty. So it's going to be
my birthday.
And also your birthday. Yeah. And I have now seen the entire Fenty Beauty line. I'm like sworn to secrecy, but September 7th, I believe it is when it all drops.
A little bit before. You have some time.
I think we're going to have like a dueling Pat versus Rhee. Like Rhee versus Pat. Like whose products do you want? Or just get them all. Once we have them in the house, we'll revisit.
We're going to have to. Well, they're 2 very different lines.
Exactly.
Very different lines.
One focuses color, one maybe a little. Okay. We'll talk again in September.
We don't need a lawsuit.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us older, better, faster, stronger. Work it, that, 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 that don't kill me. Can only make us stronger.
So, Jen, sometimes we work on stories, beauty stories. We're always, like, looking for, like, the newest, most novel advice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're pressed. You're, like, you know, we've heard that tip before. We know that product. Like, you're pumping your poor expert for, like, something crazy.
Yeah.
Well, like a year or two ago, I was interviewing the fabulous colorist, James Corbett. He also, you know, is a salon owner.
Right.
And we're doing a story about like long hair. And he was like, I asked him about, you know, how to like keep your hair long. And he said something about how a lot of women get their hair like caught in their handbags and stuff. And I was like, okay, this is too crazy, this tip. This is like, who does that really happen to? Like, what's next? Like, women get their hair caught in a door jam?
A and B have happened to me.
Every day, I, like, scream in pain now.
Oh, because you had a bob a year and a half ago, and now you have long hair like me.
I've never had my hair this long in my life.
I have a 15-pound tote.
Yes.
And you swing it onto your shoulder, yes. And God forbid, your strands are underneath the tote handle.
God forbid, every
time. And then
time.
You go to turn your head to get a taxi, and you freaking are in traction for 2 weeks because everything's like a whole big mess.
Every day.
Yeah. I'm like, long hair do care. It gets like crazy. But why? What other problems does it cause besides getting stuck in your tote?
Just like constantly stuck in the tote. And it's also like gives me like that, you know, like nails on a chalkboard kind of thing. Like it gives me like a visceral, like horrible reaction.
Well, because you're also realizing, because you're a beauty editor, that every time you tug, it's breaking
hair. I can even hear the breaking.
You can see the spot. It's like 6 inches up from the bottom, right where the tote handle is.
Oh.
Or right where the ponytail. A lot of women get it where they put the same ponytail at the same place.
He gave me that tip too.
Change your ponytail placement, people.
Then he gave me
that was so alliteration and I loved it. The magazine editor and we loved that. People, change your ponytail placement.
I think I may have written that now. I'm actually going to save that.
It's
then,
good.
Then I also got new sunnies. Love them. And he gave me this tip too. It's so funny. All the tips that he gave me, James, I'm so sorry. I love you. I just didn't know.
And now you know.
Yeah.
What was the tip about the sunglasses?
Like, sunglasses always breaking at the crown of, you know, the head.
Yes.
And I've always worn like really plasticky, you know, like acrylic-y type sunglasses.
Yeah.
Well, for the first time I'm wearing like wiry sunglasses.
Yes.
Every time I put them up
this is why I don't wear I loved aviators, the metal frames, but you put them up on the top of your head and the little nose pieces get stuck in your hair and then you try and pull your sunglasses down and you hear your hair breaking.
Yeah.
So another tip, wear acrylic frames if you don't want to get breakage.
Right.
Okay, so what if you have a big tote and you have metal aviators and you're causing breakage? How do we fix it?
Unfortunately,
you didn't get that far?
No. I did. Okay, so.
Because I have a tip too.
First of all, I had to call James and apologize to him.
He'd be like, now I understand.
Yes.
The struggle of long hair.
Yeah. And he said, you know, once the hair, there's nothing. First, he basically cleared something up. Do not believe any of these products that say that they can like fix
breakage. Right.
It's not happening.
Even the like Nexus Pro Mend like hair splitting thing uses ionic technology, just negative positive charge to sort of like get the hairs to go back together, but they're not glued back together
nothing
permanently.
Nothing. You cannot fix something.
It looks better, but it's not, you can't regrow your hair. You're not a salamander growing like a fifth leg when the leg comes off.
He said,
sorry.
That's a gorgeous image. But he said like, once the hair is dead, like a bond builder like Olaplex, which he's a fan of.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, something, it'll give it like CPR. It'll keep it on life support. But sometimes you need to pull the plug.
Right.
And that is cutting the hair at the breakage.
Okay.
So what I need to do is really maybe, as you had mentioned so gently, maybe get a trim.
Yeah. I did right before this segment started. Yeah. We were like, Jess, your hair's so long. And then I was like, uh-huh. And she's like, do you think it's too long? And our producer said, no. And I said, you might need a little bit of a cut.
A little trim.
A little shaping, as they say.
Just a shaping.
Okay.
But I am keeping it
long.
Can
I add one other tip, too?
What tip?
So the tote thing, when your hair hits there, if your hair is already stronger, it might be less likely to break. So there is the preventative thing that you could do.
Right.
So there's some good deep conditioning masks with keratin and proteins. And like to a certain point, protein will strengthen your hair so that it's less likely
to break.
What's
your fave?
I don't know how to say the name of this brand, but it's Briogeo. Is that how you say
that? I think so.
So they have a deep conditioning hair mask that has some, like, I think it's whey protein they use. And I find not only is it, like, moisturizing, whatever, yes. but I feel like it's very strengthening, especially if you have, like, coarser, wiry hair. So, and I use it only from, like, the ends down because I feel like that's where my breakage is, not really along the hairline. You need to get you a protein mask. We need to get you a trim.
How often do you use the protein mask?
Once a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that you have long hair, I love how this is like a process for you. Just join the girl gang here.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Molly Ringwald on the pod. Not only are you a pop culture and cinematic icon, you're also on my favorite show of 2017. And honestly, the show I've been waiting for since I was probably 7 years old. Riverdale!
Yes!
Oh my God, I'm so obsessed. It's amazing to have you here. And also, my favorite fun trivia fact is that you also listen to Fat Mascara.
That's right, people.
It's
really, that's
it's
right.
My feather and my cap. No matter what happens, Molly Ringwald listened to Fat Mascara.
I do. I love it.
How did you find the show?
Actually, my hairdresser, Gabby Fishman, another redhead, she told me about the show because Daniel was on and he said nice things about me. And it's always so nice to hear when somebody met you a long time ago that you were nice, you know, because yeah. like, you know,
Daniel Martin.
Yeah. Daniel artist, Martin, yeah. makeup artist, not, you know, every day is not a great day. And I was like, oh my God, no. What did this person say about me? You know? And then I listened to the show and I was like, oh my God, that's so nice. And then I was hooked. And then so cool. I made my husband actually listen to one of the episodes, and he's, you know, he's not a beauty guy, but he found it really, he's a writer. And I thought, if you want to know the way that women talk about beauty and, you know, and yeah, he really enjoyed it.
That's oh, so cool.
Nice. Glad we could school him.
but you know, you're saying your husband's a writer. You are also a writer yourself. You wrote for Marie Claire.
Yes, you did. You wrote about your beauty mark for us. I was there then.
That's right.
I forgot we had that connection.
I did. Yeah, I've written for a few beauty magazines.
You wrote
sort
for
of
Teen
like
Vogue.
I did. I wrote for Teen Vogue. I wrote about that horrible prom dress for Teen Vogue. Yeah, I've kind of moonlighted as a beauty writer, but you know, I really find that it's not. it's not my forte, even though I've always been interested in beauty. It's not an easy thing to write about. I find that it's not really, when I was writing this book, my first book, which is kind of
getting
like
the pretty back.
Getting the Pretty Back. Mm-hmm. I found that the essays were a lot easier for me to write, like the sort of personal stuff, than the part about giving people advice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you have to do, right?
When you write about your mom and your husband and things, it's just like, it totally touched me. I was like, it just seemed like it flowed very easily.
That was the part that was really easy. And that was actually really interesting for me to discover in a way that's what I was good at. I was better at, sort of character and, anecdotes, but I wasn't necessarily like, it's one thing to just tell your friends what you think, but then to like actually put down in print, like you should do this instead of that, you should buy this lipstick instead of that lipstick. It's not my forte.
Yeah. I think Jen and I both loved the book. We were texting each other, getting the pretty back. You have an amazing voice. I would recommend this to anyone, whether they're into beauty or fashion or just, want some life advice. So when I saw the title Getting the Pretty Back, I was like, and I was like, I didn't really get the title, but within like three pages I got it. I was like, oh my God, that's genius. And I love it. And I love it. And I got the message, and I urge everyone to read the book, but also just like the first section just really hit me. What does getting the pretty back mean to you?
Well, obviously I think for anybody who has seen, the John Hughes movies that I made, one of them has pretty in the title. So it's been this sort of, word that I've been associated with for years in one way or another. But the title actually comes from when I was pregnant with my now almost 14-year-old daughter. A friend of mine said, well, you better hope it's not a girl because she'll suck the pretty out of you. And I was like, it was the worst thing to say. I was already not the prettiest pregnant. Like, I had this fantasy about what I was going to look like when I was pregnant. I was going to be one of these, like, kind of like Sarah Jessica Parker, right? You were just going to be able to see from the side that I was pregnant, but from the back, I was going to be totally normal. And, my ankles were going to be thin and all of that stuff. And I just wasn't. It was like, I had a dentist that told me, some women you can tell from head to toe that they're pregnant and you're one of those women. And I was like, oh my God.
Everybody gives, like, they think it's their place to tell you when you're pregnant.
Yeah. And this happened up until I even gave birth. I was offered a Gap ad, the offer came through as I was in the hospital. I said, this is really funny. Matilda was, 5 weeks early, so obviously I couldn't do it. And I was talking to my friend Victoria and my husband who was there, and the nurse said, oh, that's really funny. You modeling, you look like the Michelin man.
Jesus Christ.
And I said, and I just, like, we were all sort of stunned into silence, and I just didn't say anything. And then she went in again because she thought I didn't hear what she said. And then she said, because you look like the Michelin man. And then she went in like for a third time, and Victoria was like, yeah, we got it.
Yeah, thanks.
you need that friend. I mean, it happened all the time through my pregnancy. So, and so when my friend said that, I thought, oh, it's true. When she was born, it's true. She sucked the pretty out of me. I'm no longer, which is already a thing that you kind of deal with when you have kids. It's like, I'm no longer an ingenue. I'm no longer, sexually viable woman. Like, you have all of those issues that you're already dealing with. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it was even more enhanced because of having, been in a movie called Pretty in Pink,
Sure.
And so I wanted to kind of write about pretty and how to sort of reclaim that word.
Yeah.
We associate it so much with youth. And I just thought it's really more of like a state of mind, and it's a lightness, and it's like a feeling that you have more than, the actual physical beauty thing.
I loved how you talked about, that could just be like reconnecting with friends, or like you said, dancing to Bananarama in your room. Like, just, were moments where you don't have to be, I'm speaking for myself, you don't have to look like Giselle, where you actually, I feel really corny saying this, but you do, or I do feel pretty, and it's not when I'm just had my makeup done by like Pat McGrath, but
yeah.
It's when I'm, this sounds so corny, oh my God, I just want to like get the hook for myself.
But it
might be like going by myself, like we just talked about this the other day, like, listening to music down the street, walking down the street, or like having like a laugh with a friend, and we're not talking about anything that has to do with beauty. And I hope that I feel that way when I'm 85. You know, it's not. Is this what you're saying?
That's just about totally what I'm saying.
It has nothing to do with like I got to this weight or I finally deprived myself of this and I fit into exercise.
No, I mean I think exactly what you were talking about. I mean I've been in situations where I've you know had the most amazing makeup artists and hair people and designers you know working on me and I haven't felt that. I've felt sort of weighed down and kind of heavy and you know psychologically heavy. But I've been in other moments where I have no makeup on and I'm just like walking around bare feet or, you know, just recently I was at a wedding in Greece and I was just like dancing, you know, Greek dance, which I can't even really do, but you know, I just, and my daughter even said to me later, you know, I had to roll my eyes at you because I'm 13 years old and my other friend was there, but I really loved seeing you dance like that. And it reminds me of like, what you talk about, Yaya, my late mother-in-law, loved to dance. And she would just, when she was really happy, she would just like go like this and make my husband just, you know, cringe. And but it was just such a happiness and a lightness. And that's sort of what I mean about pretty.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time, since I feel like a lot of people have known you since you were young because you started out in movies, you know, pretty young. Was there ever a time that you didn't feel pretty? And not in that way of like, I'm beautiful, whatever, but just when you weren't as confident as you seem now or as you come across in this book?
I don't think I was confident at all as a young person. I mean, I think in a lot of ways I sort of, that's one of the reasons why I became famous or why the movies did well was because I was so not confident and I was so awkward. And I feel like that really touched a lot of people because everybody feels that way.
You're not a good actress. That was just you on screen.
No, that was pretty much just me. I mean, I think I became more confident, you know, as I kind of became more successful. Also after I decided to, which this is a lesson that I try to talk to my daughters about. And I don't know that if it totally gets through. I think it hopefully gets through, but it's kind of a message that I have for anyone and everyone is sort of like picking out those things that you feel like are imperfect. You know, like I felt like my skin was too pale or I felt like my lips were too big. And I know these sound like things that are really good now, but like when you're growing up in the 70s and it's like your sister is blonde, has blonde hair and blue eyes and everybody's like really tawny and, you know, these were not qualities that were very, that I thought were sort of like in vogue at all. And I sort of like, I kind of got it through my head at a fairly young age that whatever I was that I maybe didn't want to be, I was just going to kind of take it and like enhance it and make it even more. So like my hair went redder and my skin went paler and my lips, you know, like I would just draw like my lipstick like a little bit over and make my lips a little bit bigger. And I feel like that's sort of always been my philosophy a little bit is to try to embrace like what you are as much as you can.
Around what age did you start doing that?
I started when I was, I think, in ninth grade.
Right.
I have this picture that that I love. It's a little bit blurry, but it's like me walking across the asphalt in ninth grade, and my hair is like just like the brightest that it's ever been. My lips are super pale. I'm skinny. I have a like bandana tied around my jeans, and I'm like wearing like a bandana like around my. I think I'm wearing one glove or something. Like
so you
before,
were like the Judd Nelson character before the Judd Nelson character.
In that moment, I was, you know, one earring. I mean, it was very, you know, but the way that I'm walking across like with purpose, with completely sure of who I was. And I don't even know if I totally felt that way, but it's like that thing that they say about smiling when you don't really feel like smiling and it does something to your brain. I feel like I kind of convinced myself in a way that I was more confident than I was. And that's it kind of, and then I kind of took off and I became like the most popular teenager in the world for a while. Like I didn't have to worry about my school anymore. It was
not
like, you know,
that was kind of true.
Or in the United States.
That's what, like, didn't Time Magazine say something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So let's get back to your red hair for a second. So what was, you really embraced it at, you know, in ninth grade. Did you have to really, you know, kind of forced yourself to? Like, what was your relationship with your red hair?
And are you a natural red hair?
I'm like a natural auburn. Mm. Like, the color that your hair is, well, I can't tell. I mean, this is, like, the worst light. You guys, for bad. A beauty podcast, you have really bad lighting.
Mad fluorescent up in
I
here.
I wish you'd get some laps. I know.
You need a little incandescent in here. I think my natural hair color, I mean, when I was little, like, when I was 4 years old, it was kind of, like, you know, kind of coppery strawberry color, and then it got darker, so it was like, it was kind of like what yours looks like, mm-hmm. kind of.
But she's talking to Jeff, not me.
I'm talking to Jeff.
We'll take photos.
But you know, there was always like a lot of red in it, and I'm the kind of person where it doesn't matter what color my hair is, everyone just always assumes that I'm red. It's like they just see me with red hair because that's kind of what I should have. Like, even my own mother, when I came home the first time that I did my hair really, really red, she said, oh no, you can't be a redhead. You can keep it for a month and then you have to go back. And now if I play around with my color, if I do something else, you know, she's like, no, it's terrible. You have to have red hair.
Do you like, what do you think people say? Like, okay, like you're sometimes when I've said, okay, once my hair goes so, once it becomes so hard to dye because I'm getting gray, like I was like, maybe I'll just go brown. And they're like, no, but you're such a redhead. You are a redhead. I'm like, what does that actually mean? Like, what is a redhead? Do you have ideas about what a redhead is? Like yourself as a redhead?
I do. And I've flirted with other colors. Like when I moved to Paris, I dyed my hair really dark because I think part of me just kind of wanted to blend in. Mm-hmm. And then I've kind of flirted with blonde hair. Actually, pretty recently, I had platinum blonde hair, which was, you know, kind of fun. But I always feel like a little bit like I'm impersonating someone or I'm playing a part. And I feel like myself when I have red hair. And I feel like there's something about being a redhead where I feel like people that like redheads, like my husband, like his high school girlfriend, his college girlfriend were both redheads. And then me.
Yeah. And then Charlotte Tilbury said the same thing when she was on the podcast, another redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some, the people that love redheads really love them. I mean, they just do. There's just something about it. And I do think that it's the red hair kind of gives you permission a little bit to be maybe a little bit more outspoken, maybe a little bit more fiery. It's sort of like, oh, well, she's a redhead, of course, you know. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm a little bit, like, I'm a little judgy in terms of whether or not somebody deserves to have red
to
hair.
Be in the club.
Same,
yes.
Same.
Jess, you better step it up. She's testing you right now.
No, I completely get it. I completely get it. And a lot of your books, so you talk about a little bit red hair in the book, which I enjoyed. But then you also talk about fashion too, and beauty. And I love how your advice is. I mean, I guess if you have a book, it should be this way. Very authoritative. It's very, you know, like this is the kind of trench. These are the colors. It's not jerky.
I was like, I better get an Hermes scarf, like. Steph.
Oh no, I'm getting one. Yes, I don't.
No,
care
but
who
I did say like if you can't afford
you
this,
no.
You know, and you can sometimes luck upon like a vintage
YSL,
you know,
trench.
Yes.
No, it was very democratic. I don't want people to think that you are basically saying, like, you know.
I mean, these are basically based on people that I sort of admired, you know, and like style. I mean, it's not completely original. I mean, I think it's original in that I mix it up and I kind of make it my own, which I think everybody should do. But these are people that, you know, like I love Jane Birkin's bangs, you know, or I've always loved Brigitte Bardot's hair, or, you know, I love Catherine Deneuve, or I love Babe Paley, mm-hmm. or these are like sort of icons that I've had over the years. And so that's why I say like, oh, the YSL trench or the wraparound glasses that Deneuve wears in Belle du Jour. I mean, these are sort of like, it's the pinnacle of style for me. So I think it's like what I aspire to. Do I necessarily look like that? No, you know, and I don't think that everybody needs to look like that, but anyway.
Did you learn some of these lessons kind of, especially, I guess, with beauty too, like the hard way? Did you feel like you made like fashion and beauty mistakes along the way? And now like, you're like, this is it. I'm giving you this Bible. Because I read this and I'm like, done. Closet sorted, doing a big clean out this weekend.
Yay.
Why am I messing around with some of like these like ridiculous like ponchos and prints that I have? Black turtleneck.
You don't have a poncho.
No, but I feel like this is it. This is the advice. This is the rule book.
Yeah.
I'm invested.
Was there an awkward stage?
There was, I think there's always been awkward stages. I mean, I think But I really admire people that have tried.
Yeah.
You know, that I feel like fashion has become so boring in a lot of ways, like, or a certain kind of fashion.
Damn it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I'm not necessarily talking about like wearing a meat dress, although I think, you know, it's kind of whatever. But I mean, I really admire her and the fact that she has taken chances. But it's not like about doing a spectacle, but it's just about being, I think, a little bit more whimsical and just basically not so scared of somebody, you know, picking apart what you wear in a magazine or saying this is a fail or somebody wore it better. Like, I hate that. I hate how beauty magazines pit people against each other and sort of call out people for being trying to be creative or trying something, you know? And I think it made people really scared to try something. And everybody just decided that they just like wanted to look like Gwyneth Paltrow because, you know, it was just so safe. And I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow looks amazing, but like, I don't look great in stuff that she looks good in. Like, it's just not me.
But a lot of your style advice has this little French flair to it, which makes sense because you lived there for how many years?
I lived there off and on for about 10 years.
Do you think, like, the people often go back to those French women for style and beauty advice. Do you think it informed some of what you've decided works for you because you were there?
Definitely. Yeah. I think so. I just got back from France, actually. I took my family, my two little ones. I have 8-year-old twins and almost 14-year-old Matilda. And they'd never been to France. Well, Matilda had when she was really little, but it was a little bit stressful because I felt like I had to say,
this is mommy's world.
This is mommy's world. This is where mommy grew up. Like, look at this. This is where mommy lived. This is where I had coffee. This is where and they were like, yeah, can we just like stop for a second? Can we just, but yeah, I do feel like it very much influenced my point of view. I mean, I really do feel like I grew up there more than America in a way. And I just mean that and that I discovered things about myself. Like when I lived in America, I became a celebrity kind of young and I was always just kind of being watched and sort of like I felt like a little bit like a bug under glass. And I felt like I had to be really professional and, and I didn't really feel like it gave me a lot of time to kind of sort of exhale. You know, I really do feel like I look better now than I did like through most of my 30s and maybe a lot of my 20s too. I mean, I feel like I've gone through periods of time where I look back and I was like, wow, I was unhappy or wow, I was, that was, what was I doing then? And I feel like I'm just in a really good place in terms of like, I feel like knowing who you are does so much for all of the exterior stuff. It just all shows up.
But that's so true.
Yeah, that's really, I really like that. I also love the skincare section. You were very like, again, you had those like really cool tenets. You know, you love what you love. And you also, you're not afraid to like go to the dermatologist if you have an issue. You said like save your money for dermatology.
Yeah.
I thought that was really smart.
Instead of fancy packaging.
Yeah, not every person can go to the dermatologist, but if you can, get your skin checked. Go make sure that mole isn't growing any bigger. Like, you know your stuff. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. When people ask me to give advice to, I've done a bunch of shows now, Riverdale being one of them, with people that are younger than me, these sort of like up and coming young kids. And everyone always wants me to give advice. And I hate to give advice to people because I don't feel like I ever took anyone's advice. And it's just sort of, I feel like I'm not going to make these kids roll their eyes at me, forget about it. But the one piece of advice that I will give constantly is wear sunscreen.
That's it.
Because I feel like I kind of saved my skin from being really, right now I'm a little bit bronzy because I also do love the sun.
So you've been wearing sunscreen since you were younger.
Yeah, because that was kind of my look when I was growing up. I had the really, the tan just didn't go with the red hair. So I kind of got really diligent about sunscreen. But I think it's just really important to take care of your skin. And I feel like if your skin's in good shape, you can go around and like not wear anything. really. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's kind of all about the skin. Well, and by the way, I did bring presents for you. And
is there skincare?
There's skincare.
Is there sunscreen?
There's no sunscreen.
Oh, okay.
But it's this brilliant woman named Kim Sevi.
Oh,
and she has this company named Alchemy. And I actually met her because she was an esthetician with a dermatologist in New York named David Colbert. And
yeah,
she moved to she moved to Utah and kind of she took all of her knowledge that she learned about being an esthetician, but then also studied like herbs and plants and all that
opening
stuff.
Prezies,
so to me, it's like she's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Like she knows all of the, you know, the Western medicine, but she knows the other stuff.
Alchemy
too.
Spelled A-L-K-I-M-L-E.
I mean, her name's Kim, so she puts
thing.
But
I'm going to mask tonight.
But her stuff is amazing.
And
I do not work for the company and I get no money from
your regimen.
Yeah. There's four products that she uses that like one of them, the first one is she does this like vitamin C, but you add it yourself because it, as you know, it oxidizes so fast. And then there's a hyaluronic acid and there's an oil that she has her like mixture oil, but I really love rose oil. So she like just gives me.
Oh, nice.
Rose oil. Anyway, I'm sort of obsessed with skincare. It's.
What about sunscreen? What's your sunscreen of choice?
Oh, my God.
Elta.
Elta.
That's it, man. Elta MD UV Physical Broad
Spectrum.
She
carries it with her. I love it.
Love Elta, too.
It's amazing. I mean, you can wear it. It's like it doesn't matter what your skin tone is. Like you could wear it. I also don't make any money from talking about this product.
But
I don't have a contract
blockers,
with anyone.
But it's like super sheer still.
It's super sheer and it doesn't make me break out because I have like very eczema prone skin, like rosacea eczema, like everything makes me just like like I hate that feeling of like you just want to like scratch it off your face. And this is it.
Now, what about working out? And I read your book. I don't know how you feel today. But like either when you wrote the book, I was like, this is a woman who's after my own heart. You're not like, oh my God, I love get up and I do SLT and bar and I just love it because like, you know, working out like endorphins, blah, blah, blah. You're like, I work out because I have to.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it is.
We're still on that page, right?
Yes.
Okay. What are we doing right now?
We are running.
Ugh.
Which I've never been. I actually discovered after I had my twins that I could run. I never thought I could run. And somehow, I don't know how I got into it. And
you birthed the twins, you can do anything, right?
Yeah, right. And one of them was breached, too.
Oh, Jesus.
You're like 10 miles, no problem.
I still can't run, really. Or I shouldn't say I can't, but I still don't run for more than, I don't know, like 3 or 4 miles.
That's a lot.
And I do it because my brain feels better. Mm-hmm. I really love to do yoga. I like to practice yoga, but I wouldn't consider myself like a yogini or anything. I just try to like stay active and walk instead of drive and, you know, just kind of, you know, keep busy.
The French theory of working out, right? Like just walk everywhere. And if it makes you feel good, do it.
Yeah. But also pushing yourself too. Like I think it's important to raise your heart rate.
Before we ask you about some of your favorite products, we have to talk about Riverdale. I'm letting Jess, I was like, fine, Jess, you can have a moment to obsess. First, explain the concept for people who don't know Betty and
Archie.
Riverdale
gang.
Yes.
So Archie Andrews and the whole Riverdale gang, they're basically, they're like a live action.
From the comic book.
If you don't know, just take a hike because that's crazy. They're American icons. I used to read the comics like a crazy person. I used to go to the hobby shop every Saturday with my dad and my brother, and they'd do their
double
thing.
Digest.
I get double digest. I'd get the single. I get the Betty and Veronica.
Oh,
Jughead.
You went deep.
There was Archie like 3000. I was like a crazy person. I went to comic book shows.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
I had the long boxes. I was like an Archie nerd.
That's amazing.
Okay, I know, I'm outing myself. So when I heard about Riverdale, and then I heard you were on it, I went bananas. But what's great about this, it's not just like some dorky, like, oh, live action, like there's a romance. It's dark.
It's dark, yeah.
It's like Twin Peaks meets the Riverdale gang.
Yeah.
Is this like weird that I'm saying that KJ Apa is like the hottest thing in the world?
He is... extraordinarily beautiful.
Oh my
God. That kid. And I have to say, it really does come from the inside out. He has a beautiful, light, beautiful personality.
You can tell.
But there's a lot of nice looking people on that show, I have to
Cole
say.
Cole Sprouse. Freaking out because he was on the
Sweet Life.
Just like, is it fun? Like, what do you do? Like,
yeah.
What's on set life like?
I've never seen you fan out so hard.
Can I come?
Yes, absolutely. I actually recommended the podcast to the makeup artist. I think we actually listened to part of Fat Mascara while I was in the chair.
Was KJ in earshot?
He might have been.
I'm joking.
Gotten in.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, I loved your top 10. There was like a top 10 lipstick list, and I was like, this woman could be a beauty editor. It was NARS Belle du Jour. There was Chanel Vamp. It was like the ones that we go to as the classics.
I don't think they make a lot of the ones that I put in the book,
Cherries
though.
And Snow from Revlon. I'm not sure they make
it. I think they still make it.
So what are you wearing these days? Like, what's on your lips right now?
I'm wearing...
get out the bag. Let's do it.
I'm wearing actually something that they don't make anymore, and I tried to find it when I was in France, and if you ladies can find it, you'll be my
hero. Kiss, I remember this from Orange Mambo. That's a fun
Orange
old
Mambo.
School name.
You really like this one.
I really love it. It's like down to the nubbin.
Yeah.
I don't
is that, that's what's on it's like a pretty coral. Yeah.
Yeah. It's but it's like pretty. It has a little tiny bit of a sheen.
We have friends
to
at Guerlain. I think we can
this is like the perfect
see what we can do.
The perfect summer lipstick. If they don't make I don't think they make it anymore, but they should reissue it. Because you know most of the corals are too orange, and I don't like stuff when they're too pink. This is just like the perfect
mix
combination of the two.
What else you got in there?
That, these are like
I
my
saw some Charlotte Tilbury, so I know Jess is happy.
This is
Film Star Bronze and Glow.
Wait, yeah, you didn't even turn it over, and you knew exactly what it was.
I know
skills.
This is I'm kind of liking that right now.
Oh, the
now.
Glossier Cloud Paint.
The Glossier.
I see a peachy
kind of
pink
like
theme.
I love this, the Laura Mercier, highly for under the eyes.
Secret brightening powder for
this
under
is my
eyes
perfume because I knew that you guys were going to ask
Ooh,
me.
Is that what you're wearing today?
That's what I'm wearing today.
You smell fantastic.
Here, you can actually go through this if you want.
That's really nice.
This I got this when we were on our honeymoon
and what's
in
the
Italy.
Name of it?
It's Carthusia. And they convinced me in the store. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Wait, it's even Corallium. The
yes.
coral theme continues yes. with the fragrance.
You love coral.
I do, especially since it's dying now.
I know.
Oh, God.
Because of the chemical sunscreen. Elta MD, a physical sunscreen. Much safer. Good to know.
Yes. So the guy in the store in Capri where we were convinced me that was like the only place in the world that you could get it. And then I came back and they had it at Bigelow's. But I still love it.
Good sell.
He was good.
Also,
right?
But don't you? But it reminds you of that trip.
Yes.
That's the thing about fragrance.
Yes.
It'll bring you back.
And before then, the perfume that I wore, which was completely different than that, but I wore it for years, was Je Reviens. Like, I wore that
Did you pick
for
it up
years.
In, when you were living in?
I got that from a costume designer named Colleen Atwood, and it was the perfume that she wore.
She's like the costume
designer. She's the costume designer, and I met her when I was 14 years old, and she was working on this movie that I did in Moab, Utah called Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. She was the assistant, and she left the movie to go be the costume designer on this movie about models called Portfolio. That they made in the 80s, and then we sort of became friends from there. Yeah. And so she wore Je Reviens, and that's how I did. And then I switched to this, which I've been wearing for I think about 10 years now.
Candles.
We are a candle family.
What's burning in the Ringwald Giannopoulos homestead?
usually it's just basically what somebody gives us, but because that's usually
it's a good gift.
It's a good gift.
It's a good
and I think it's a really good gift to get for people too, because it's one of those like little luxuries that you don't really necessarily want to buy you
what
for
do
yourself.
You bring people if you're bringing them a candle?
A Diptyque candle.
Mm. They're a classic.
They're the best. That's but you like Nest, right? Nest is really good.
I like Diptyque and Nest. They're both very good. But a Nest, they have some scents that I go bananas for.
What's your favorite one?
Love Sicilian Tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really love, like, right now I'm really into, like, the lemongrass ginger.
That's nice.
It's like, I feel like the place just smells really clean.
I really like ones that are really kind of fresh and clean. I don't like really musty kind of, or musty is that?
Like musky. Smell?
I don't like church smell. I don't like patchouli in a candle. I mean, unless it's like used very sparingly. Mm-hmm. I found out that I think one of the notes of the perfume that I wear, I think there might be patchouli in that. And if I knew that, I never would have bought it.
Molly Ringwald, you've been amazing. We've learned so much.
Aww.
This was so awesome.
This was really fun. Thanks for having me.
It's time to raise the wand, but our producer, Belle, is on vacation, so we all don't have to suffer through her singing. Love you, Belle. So let's raise a wand, shall we? I am raising a wand to the, I'm not sure how to say the name of this brand, Diamoncel. It's a foot rasp.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Diamoncel.
Now that it's spelled out, I'm not sure. It's the Bliss Diamoncel Callus Rasp File.
Ooh.
Okay, so I've been wearing sandals all summer, right? And I run and my feet are gross and I walk around barefoot. I've been grounding, Jess.
Oh, my God.
I've been grounding all over the Northeast this summer. And my feet got a little bit janky.
Gross.
Yeah, but I'm a runner, so I don't like to get rid of calluses completely. And we all know you're not supposed to shave calluses.
Oh, stop,
So for a while I was using those, like, they're the black, they almost look like sandpaper kind of foot file. I'm like, this isn't cutting it. Then I tried that Clarisonic one, the little electric tool one.
Yeah.
The thing that works for me, and I would like to recommend to everybody, are these diamond foot rasps. I guess it's like ground up diamond powder. So A, you don't have to get the new black topping. Like, you'd have to, like, there would be replaceable.
Yeah.
Or the pumice stone that, like, I'm sorry, those gray pumice stones do nothing.
I don't
on
like
me.
Those.
They just sort of, like, rub it around and feel hard. This is almost like a nail file, but for your foot. So it, like, softens but doesn't remove the callus completely. And then I've had mine for, like, 4 years, and it never really, I guess that's the thing about a diamond.
Do you just wash it?
I don't wash it. I let the dead skin just like hang out in there. I just rinse it off. I don't even use soap because I feel like, I just rinse it off. I leave it in the shower, and then at the end of the shower when my skin's already soft and warm, I use it. And okay, so it's $27, which feels like a lot
that's
for a
lot,
foot file, but 4 years I've had this, and it really, really works for me. So however you say your name, company, Diamoncel, I like you.
Cool.
Raise a wand. What are you raising a wand to?
It's the summer of hair.
Oh, God, here we go.
I have been using, and I threw it in the trash today because I was done with it, which was...
Ooh, empties.
Yeah.
Hashtag empties.
Wow, I'm on their website right now, and they're out of stock. I guess a lot of people like this.
What is it?
R&Co Sail Soft Wave Spray.
Oh, yes.
There's little sailboats on it. It's a good-looking product.
I was just talking, was I talking to that about? Oh, Jessica Chio had that in her hair, I think, yesterday I saw her.
Okay, R&Co Sail Wave Soft Wave Spray. What I love about it is you can use it on dry hair, which is great because I do not like to, like, I don't style my hair wet. You know, like, I wake up and it's kind of, it is what it is, and then I work with it. You just put it on your hair, like, evenly, and you just kind of zhuzh it, and you can throw a little curling iron in it.
By zhuzh, I think you were just doing, like, a scrunch motion.
Like a scrunch, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in my hair today. And then you just, it just gives you a little soft texture, and isn't sticky. You know, I think you guys, regular listeners of the show, will know that I've amassed a collection of,
Texturizing
sprays. So this isn't replacing one or the other. It's just adding to my arsenal. But it has some conditioning ingredients like rosehip and sea kelp. And it also doesn't make your hair matte, which is what a lot of these sprays can do.
Also, the R&Co stuff looks so chic on a vanity. Looks good in a bathy.
It does. It does.
Raise a wand.
I keep mine high in a shelf, so you can't really see it.
But raise a wand nonetheless.
It's $29. Not cheap, but you will use it, I promise. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.